Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Isn't God a wonderful God today? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen. You can turn the lights back on today. Hallelujah. 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 I would give anything if everyone in this room could get your praise back. If you ever get your thankful heart back, amen, and start ordering your conversation aright, you're going to open the door for God's blessing in your life. Don't wait for something to happen. It's already happened. It happened 2,000 years ago at Calvary. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Give me thanks in your deepest valley, because in your deepest valley you are not alone. For I am a keeper of my promises. I am the great promise keeper, saith God. And yea, I am with you. Look to the left, look to the right, and see that I am on the left and I am on the right. Look before you, I went before you. Look behind you, I'm your rear guard, saith the Lord. I am with you. Look and see, I have brought you this far. I will not abandon you now, saith God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Amen and amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. God will not abandon you now. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn with me to Psalm 50. And I've read this so many times, I hesitated to read it again. But God said, I want you to minister a little while from it. Praise the Lord. One thing that I want to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, I want to thank God for my King. I usually hear it expressed as Jesus is Lord, but it's the same terminology that produces the same thing. We have a new king. We have a new master. And when my son came out of 38 years of alcoholism, and he's had some setbacks, I want you to know, but every time he refers to Jesus, he calls him my king. And I don't hear that all the time, but he is our great king. Can you say amen? He is the head of the church. Make no mistake about it. Amen. I'm an under shepherd, way under. Praise God. He is the head of the church. And that's why I bring you before him. Praise God. Amen. He's the one that knows how to help you. He's the one that knows how to deliver you. He's the one that you should be bowing in your heart to and looking to. He is the author and he is the finisher of your faith. Can you say amen? It's his word that brings faith into view and is the catalyst for faith. And he's the author of it. Did you know every man, to every man, faith doesn't, when it said faith come by hearing, I want you to know it's about him. It's about him. It's not his promises. It's his person. Yes. Anybody can make you a promise. And believe me, there may be some good Christian used car salesmen. There may be. Amen. But generally speaking, when they tell you a little old lady owned this car, it may not be so. That promise may not be for real. That's why they have these different car facts that you can look up stuff about cars from, because the promise may not be good, but if they can show you the facts, then that may be a whole different story. So the promise only has value to the degree of the integrity of the one who made the promise to you. Can you say amen? God is a promise-keeping God. And in the book of Hebrews, it spoke of all those people that saw such great victories through faith. And it said there are those that obtained promises in Hebrews 11. They obtained promises. Obtaining the promise is something that requires faith on our part. And I know we're in a Thanksgiving season, but I just want you to know that I'm thankful that Jesus is my King. I'm thankful that I know who my Lord and Master is. And the more I come to know Him, the more confidence I have in Him. And the more confidence I have in Him, the more faith comes alive in my heart. So when it says faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, generally people think about promises. If I can just find all of those promises, we have promise, I saw a book the other day, I think my wife has it, 300 and Well, no, what is it? 365 promises. Anyway, it's a promise for every day of the year taken from the Word of God. It's not hers. Saw it at the bookstore. Every day, there's a promise. However, there's a promise of tribulation that isn't in that 365. That's number 366. We never want to pull that one out. Can you say amen? In this world, you shall have tribulation is a promise. But it's a promise you won't find in the promise box. So it's not just about promises. You need to know, listen, that's a promise that God's not going to keep. He promised us that in this world, we're going to have the anguish and pressure of living in a fallen world. But listen to me. We can paste them on our refrigerator. We can recite them like a mantra. Amen. Hope, you know, just say it over and over again as if by saying it, we're going to make. And by the way, the mouth is important. Don't get me wrong. I'm not minimizing that. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Everybody say the mouth. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So hold fast your profession of faith without wavering. Yeah. Listen, how can you do that? Really do it to where it really produces faith? For he is faithful that promised. Can you say, man, if he's not faithful, your profession is not going to cause faith to arise. You got to know he's faithful. You got to know he's faithful when it looks like he isn't faithful. Amen. No temptation is taking you, but such is common to man. In other words, you're not unique because you're going through it. In fact, I tell people to take away that unique feeling of why me, poor me. Join the club, the tribulation club. Amen. Come on, join our club. But be of good cheer, he said. I've spoken these things unto you that in me you might have peace. In the world, tribulation, I promise you. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise God. I've gone before you. It's all about him. Victory's all about him and his faithfulness. Faith comes by knowing him well enough to know that he keeps his promises. And when we know him on that degree, then we can obtain promises. And somebody did the math. There's thousands of personal promises made to the covenant people, both old and new covenant. And we are an inheritor of all of those promises because we have this person as our king. Can you say amen? Wouldn't it be great if everybody here, he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. That's a promise. Wouldn't it be great if we could accept that by faith and not wait for goose pimples and not wait for holy laughter and not wait to fall out to have our faith rise up? Because when I'm going through my deepest trials, I just don't laugh. Holy Ghost can't get a laugh out of me. Can you say amen? My flesh kicks in and all I want to do is mully grub. And yours too. You got flesh too to deal with. Your flesh does not want to praise God in the valleys. Amen. Listen, but God is faithful. Regardless of how you feel, God is faithful. Can you say amen? That's why Lamentations is about a man tribulating. He's experiencing the tribulation, not only the world, but seeing Israel reject the good news that God would restore them if they would turn back to him. And now judgments are coming. They're getting ready to go down into Babylon. They're getting ready to go into captivity. Jeremiah has spent his lifetime preaching to them without one convert, not one listed. He got so sick of it. He said, I don't want to be in the public eye anymore. I don't want to be God's man. I don't want people looking to me anymore. He said, I wish I was a wayfaring man. I wish I had a cabin so far in the woods that the only way you could find it is if you got lost in the woods. And you stumble on it and said, my Lord, there's a cabin out here in the middle of nowhere. Reckon who lives in there. And they knock on the door and here's an old broke down prophet that said, nobody listens to me. What are you doing at my door? How did you find me? I'm serious. It gets pretty bad when you're preaching, you're preaching, you're preaching. God warned him that their hearts were hard. It was for a witness. I'll tell you something. God's going to give you a witness of his faithfulness today, whether you latch on to it or not, whether you live in victory or go down in flames. Can you say amen? I don't mean hell. I'm just talking about your life. Amen. Just self-destructive. But God is going to give you a witness that he's still on the throne. He's still the king. He's still faithful today. You're going to have a witness. I'm here to... Can I get a witness? Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I'm here to bear witness that my God is faithful. Don't know how about your God, but my God is faithful. Don't know which one you serve. If Baal be God, go serve him. Come on, don't. Oh, come on, you got to make up your mind. Go full-fledged out and serve the gods of this world. But if the Lord is God, come on home. Come back to him. Make a stand. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. 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 Joshua 24 said, if Baal is God, then serve it. Jesus said, I would that you were hot or cold. Amen. It's this middle ground that makes me sick. Can you say, man, it robs you of your blessing and my ability to legitimately bless you. Get off of that middle ground. Get off of the fence. If the Lord is God, serve him. And if it seems good to you to serve Baal, go serve him. But no matter what you do, as for me, my house, I'm covering it. Hallelujah. We're going to serve the Lord. Everybody say it, for me in my house. I can't speak for you in your house, but for me in my house, we will, we have, and we will continue to serve the Lord. We'll serve him in the good times. We'll serve him in the bad times. We'll serve him in the sweet times. We will serve him in the tough times. We will serve him on the mountaintops of glory and victory. And we will serve him in the valleys of brokenness. He's our God. He's our King. And we will serve no other. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You've got to get a made up mind. At some point, you've got to make up your mind. Hallelujah. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And where does the Word of God point us for this faith to come? It points us to Christ, looking unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Because faith was placed in you from the day you were born. There's enough faith in every heart of every person on this planet to receive Jesus Christ as Savior when they hear the gospel. Because to every man, that's why you can go to a culture that has been steeped in voodoo and witchcraft for centuries and preach Jesus and have people come to Christ. And all of that dark, well, did that faith all come through that message? No, that faith was placed in there to believe that message. Praise God. The day of birth, praise God, because God said, I'm not going to tell you that you need to be saved and not give you the faith to follow through. To every man, say it with me, every man. By the way, the Calvinists squirming now because they say you're predestined to either go to one place or the other. Amen. The day you're born, no, you're not. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come. Whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Can you say amen? The Spirit says, come on. Amen. The bride says, come on. Amen. And let the church say, come on. And whosoever will, let him come and drink of the river of life freely. Can you say amen? Oh, hallelujah. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to those certain people that are already preaching. No, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. But go and tell them. Go and preach the good news. Can you say amen? To every creature on this planet. Hallelujah. Whosoever will. I'm so glad that's in there. Because I was one of those who will to come to Christ, who wills to be saved. Praise God. God is so good today. Listen, in the Bible, there is a person. One man put it this way. Amen. Well, actually, there's a whole tribe down in South Africa that had never heard the gospel. And when the missionaries went, they did it right. Amen. They taught Christ from this book, from Genesis to Revelation. Jesus is in here. He's in here. From the first blood that was shed in Genesis, amen, was a type of Jesus Christ. They all drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Can you say amen? Praise God. When that little piece of wood was threw in those bitter waters to make them sweet, it represented the cross of Christ. Amen. Taking the poison of sin out of our lives and replacing it with the grace and salvation. It's all about Jesus in here. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. And so they call this the Jesus book. Amen. Said, open it just about anywhere and you'll find Jesus. Can you say amen? Glory to God. The Old Testament looked forward to Him. The New Testament declared Him. Amen. And we're looking back to the cross. Praise God. And forward to His coming. It's all about Jesus. That's why the Bible said looking, setting your gaze upon Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Every man has the measure of faith. When the gospel is preached, that measure is absolutely energized. It's set into motion, praise God. As you hear the word of God, that measure begins to grow and flourish, praise the Lord. And Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, your faith groweth exceedingly. Can you say amen? Because when you heard the word, you did not receive it as the word of a man, but as it indeed is the word of God. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha. I'm the Omega. I'm the one who begins this thing, and I'm the one who finishes it up. Hallelujah. Amen. Looking unto Jesus, who is the Alpha and Omega of your faith. Amen. Author and finisher of your faith. It starts with Jesus. It culminates with Jesus. Can you say amen? And when we stand on the streets of glory, we're going to know it's because of what God has done through Jesus Christ that has brought us into that glorious place. Faith comes by hearing about Jesus. And hearing the truth about Jesus comes by the Word of God. It's not just, come on, church, this book, you know, faith comes by the Word. I'm a Word man. I'm a Jesus man. The more I get in the Word, the more I see Jesus. Can you say amen? I'm a Word man. I just stand on the Word. You can't stand on no Word unless you know who said it to you. You've got to know Jesus to stand on the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Look out now. Everybody say, look out now. 1 John chapter 1, and the Word was made flesh. Everybody say Jesus. Say it again, Jesus. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. And we beheld His glory as the only begotten of the Father, filled with mercy and grace. The part of this book that brings faith is the part that tells you about Jesus. Because He is the author and the finisher of your faith. Oh, I've seen people claim the word for their automobile. That's fine. Claim the promise for their finances. That's fine. But they didn't get an intimate relationship with Jesus. They got their financial blessing. They got their car. But they didn't get a walk with God that was close, personal, and intimate. And their faith began to shake. Amen. In the more important sense of it. And that is the sense of walking with Him in a daily walk of victory. And not giving place to the devil. And not letting the flesh overrule us and overcome us. Can you say amen? The more I see Him in the Word of God, the more I love Him. The more I devote my heart to Him. The more I want to be more like Him. Can you say amen? Listen to me carefully. Amen. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the Word of the Lord. One preacher of old, he said, every time I open my Bible now, a man stands up. A man stands up. I see a man. You see a man, or you just see a faith formula? What do you see? You ever fall in love with a formula? I mean, we got a math professor. He's got PhDs and, well, no, he could have one. If he wanted one, he could get it. God blessed him. Amen. We're so jealous of his brains, we bother him all the time. Just because we know he's smarter than we are. But we love him anyway. Don't we love the professor? I love you, buddy. Amen. We glory in our ignorance, and so let not the wise man glory in his wisdom. Hallelujah. But let him glory in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. That he knows and understands is through that knowledge and understanding. Let me tell you about pastors. Jeremiah 3:15. I will give you pastors after my own heart. You want to know what going good looks like? I'll give you pastors after my own heart. And they'll show you how to have silver and gold and drive Mercedes-Benz. I will give you pastors after my own heart. They'll show you how to embrace the things of this world and have your values exactly match theirs. No, I will give you pastors after my own heart, and they will feed you with knowledge and understanding. Oh, now I can understand all the great mysteries of the universe. No, it's knowledge and understanding specifically. Let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, the mighty man his strength, the rich man his riches, but he that glorieth or boasts, let him boast in this, that he knows and understands me, saith God. For they that do know their God, here's where that mighty faith kicks in, shall be strong and do exploits. The New International says, shall be steadfast and take action. The whole book of Acts is about people who knew their God and took action. Can you say amen? And the action they took had a reaction from people. The lame walked, the blind saw, people got saved. Amen. The Lord moved mightily to confirm his word with signs following. And when the gospel was threatened, they prayed that they might speak the word of God with boldness. And they asked God to stretch forth his hand to heal. And that signs and wonders be done to confirm the word of God. And when they prayed that way, they the place wherein they were gathered, shaken. How many of you have been shaken by the Spirit lately? I don't want hands going up. I'd just be too distracting for me to see all these hands waving. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. How many of you have been shaken by the Spirit lately? What shaped you? Does anything shake you? You know, the only place where people are as non-emotional as a lot of Christians are is down at the morgue. You go down at the morgue, you see some real non-emotional people. You know, the Bible said faith without works, without these acts, this our idea of faith, our profession of faith. James said faith without works is dead. Somebody say, how dead? Come on, bait me in here. How dead? I'm glad you asked, because the scripture went on to say, even as the body without the spirit is dead. Everybody, my brother's not here. My brother from another mother. He's not here today. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Brother Couch is not here, but I'm going to tell you what he would say. He'd say, when I said how dead, I can see him right now, and I can hear him. Graveyard dead. Can you say amen? Tell him what happened here today. He's with us in spirit. I can feel him here. How dead is faith without works? Graveyard dead. Can you say amen? That's exactly what James taught. Graveyard dead is the body without the spirit is dead. Our profession of faith, our confession of faith, our talking of faith, our preaching of faith, without acting on that, is as dead as you would be if your spirit suddenly left your body right now. If you died right now, if this lady died right now, she's got pretty hair, she's still wearing it long and harder to keep up, amen, but it looks nice. If you went graveyard dead right now, I could come over and say, boy, I'm telling you, I don't know. This lady here, her hair just don't look right. I don't think she would care. I don't think it would bother her. Nothing would bother her. She's graveyard dead. Amen. She got pretty. That's why I told her it was pretty. I could step on her, accidentally walking across to call 911. I could step on her foot and say, oh, I'm sorry. It wouldn't matter to her. She's dead. No reaction is going to come. The spirit leaves the body. That old bone bag just crumples down. Amen. They have to take it out and bury that bad boy. Can you say, man? Only place for it now is in the ground or in the incinerator. Amen. It ain't no good to nobody no more till God reconstitutes it. Well, how's God going to bring it back, Brother Venable? Because he's got your DNA. Haven't you watched CSI? Can you say amen? You think God's not as smart as they are down at forensics? God got your DNA, honey. He got that little chain that made you everything you are, gave you your eyes and your hair and your nose and your ears. One actor said, when I first went into acting, I saw my picture for the first time that sent out for his resume as an actor, and he said it looked like a taxi cab in New York with both doors open because he had those big floppy ears. But anyway, he made it anyway. Listen to me. Amen. God's got your DNA. He don't need your remains. He's going to reconstitute all of that. Amen. Hallelujah. What about the people, Brother Venable, that they fell overboard and down in Australia and a great white ate them. And then he digested them. Then he secreted them into the sea. Amen. What about them? God, I tell you, God's got your DNA. He don't need the remains. That's why we don't mummify people. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Why? Because God don't need what's left of you here. Amen. To put the same you that's sitting here right back together, but with a glorified body. Going to happen when Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Isn't that incredible? God's got your DNA. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. And you know what? Job saw it. Oh my, this ancient book. With so little revelation, but God gave him a revelation that turned everything around, made him pray for his enemies. The revelation he got caused him to pray for the people that had hurt him, misread what was going on in his life, pointed their finger at him instead of reaching him a hand of help. Hallelujah. Amen. Curse God and die. Why don't you curse God and die? Your friends have left you, lost everything that was meaningful. God has abandoned you. God is unfaithful. I know something. I know something. Something about God that brings faith in the deepest, darkest valley where your mind can't figure it out. I know something. Well, what did he know? I know. Where? How does he know? Because God, by revelation, is showing him something about himself and what's going to happen in the future. I know my Redeemer lives. And if I drop dead and God doesn't intervene, won't change what's going to happen. And I'm going to see him. He's going to stand up in the last day, and I am going to see him. Though the skin worms eat my body off of my bones, when he stands up, I'm going to stand up in my flesh. Everybody say, God got his DNA. In my flesh. This flesh that the skin worms ate is secreted into the soil. But in this very flesh, I'm going to see him and stand up with him. Can you say amen? And he said, boy, I can't just hold grudges now with all this glory awaiting me. No matter how bad it gets, Father, forgive them crazy people. They're supposed to be my friends. And criticized me when I was down. Tried to figure out what sin it was. See, when you get self-righteous, you attribute everything to sin in everybody else. Amen? When you get self-righteous, you categorize any defeat anywhere or seeming defeat as it's got to be a sin. And it could be a sin thing. And if it is a sin thing, then God reveal it to us so we can deal with it. It's what it is, a sin thing. But it ain't always a sin thing. Sometimes the persecution is because you're right with God, not wrong with God. Sometimes the deep valleys are because you're close to God. Boy, glad Paul didn't have somebody accusing him of sin because they whipped him 5 times. Glad they didn't accuse him of a lack of faith. When they stoned him and left him for dead. Well, if you were right with God, you could manipulate your life. I heard a preacher say the other day, so I quit listening to him a long time ago, but I heard a lot before I quit, and I'd probably be, you know, I'd go up and kick the TV, and I like my TV too good to go kick it because of some preacher preaching error. But he was talking about all that Paul went through, and he was preaching faith, F-A-I-T-H, and he said, Paul didn't have to go through all those things. Isn't that incredible? Because he's driving a Rolls Royce. He's being whisked away from church. Amen. He got the gold and silver rolling in. Amen. He doesn't know what persecution is, except somebody criticizes his doctrine, which ought to be criticized. And that really eats him up. So he's got to justify this. Amen. So he says, you know, the Apostle Paul didn't have to go through what he went through. Somebody say, what did he go through? Say, come on, help me. He said, I was beaten with rods on 3 separate occasions. I was given 39 stripes of the Jews on 5 different occasions. I was stoned and left for dead. Amen. He said, I was shipwrecked and in the deep for a day and a night. Can you say amen? He said, I was hungered. He said, I was naked. There were times when it got real lean in my life. Can you say amen? He said, I was among false brethren. And I've been persecuted. Praise God. But he said, these light afflictions. Come on, there's faith. Somebody say, there's faith. These light afflictions, which are but for a moment. Can you say, man, if you're living for time, all you can see is what the world sees. But if you look past time and you're living for eternity, amen, what gets the world down will just spur you on. Can you say, man, and say, just a little while longer. I like that James Cleveland song, hold on. Oh, I wish he was here to help me. Hold on. Just to tell him. He helps me preach. Tell him we're going to pray for those shingles. Amen. Get him back in church. Praise the Lord. Listen. Hallelujah. Hold on. Just a little while longer, hold on. Just a little while longer, hold on. Just a little while longer, hold on. Hold on. Hold to his hand. Another song says, God's unchanging hand. You got to hold to his hand. God's unchanging hand. Build your hopes on things eternal. Everybody say eternal. Not temporal. While we look not at the things which are seen, for they are temporal. Come on, the rolls is temporal, believe me. I've never seen nobody buried in their rolls. Can you say amen? The Rolls Royce, it's temporal, that's right. Amen. She don't know rolls. I got an educator here today. Amen. That's way beyond our comprehension. My rolls. That's like my Beamer. You know about the Beamer. See, your faith has finally got up to Beamer faith, but it's way below Rolls faith. My BMW, my Beamer. Y'all heard about the yuppie. You know, he's looking at everything temporal. He's living with a worldview. It's a hot day. Amen. He's been working out at the gym. He's kind of buff. He's got that arm hanging out the window. He's driving along and somebody broadsides him, hits his car on that side, mangles. The arm is hanging by a shred. He can't lift it. He can't do anything. His arm is just hanging out, hanging by a shred. Amen. They're calling 911. He reaches down with the other hand. He pulls his arm up because he can't lift it. It's hanging by a shred. And guess what he says? My Rolex. My beautiful Rolex. Honey, I'm going to tell you something. Your arm's hanging by a shred. Don't worry about the fact your watch is broken. Something more important. Something more important than my Rolex. By the way, this is a, whatever it is, it's not a Rolex. There's nothing wrong with a Rolex. But if you think a Rolex marks you as spiritual or as a gauge of your faith, no, your faith is really gauged, amen, not by what happens on the mountaintop, but how you go walk through that valley. When you can say after, with Paul, these light afflictions, that work for us something eternal. Can you say, man, an eternal weight of glory? Job's comforters are everywhere. Something's wrong? Amen. Just pray for that person. Pray if it's a sin issue, that God show them it's a sin issue. And then they'll have enough grace and enough of God to deal with it as what it is. But it's not always a sin issue. Amen. Looking at Paul's life, this man said, and he said Paul could have used his faith. If he chose to, he didn't have to go through that. But he chose not to. No, he didn't choose that. God chose that. He chose not to. He besought the Lord 3 times. And nothing happened. Because everywhere he went, there was trouble and persecution. And the Lord spoke to his heart and said, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in weakness. Paul said, lest, then he understood, he got the big picture. Everybody said the big picture. He said, lest I be lifted up above measure because of the many revelations God has given me. There was given to me, in the permissive will of God, an emissary from Satan. That means a special agent. Everybody say a special agent. You know what this by the way, Satan is not a god, big or small. He's a fallen angel. Can't be everywhere at once. So everybody in here has the problem. We say the devil. Really, it's part of his minions and his hierarchy of demon forces because he just can't be everywhere at once. One of the churches, amen, in the seven churches of Asia, he said, I know where you live. I know where you're living, where Satan's seat is. This is where his head. By the way, it wasn't one of these places of debauchery and houses of ill repute and gambling houses. And no, you know where it was? It was in the educational center of Asia. Isn't that incredible? Because he wanted to do more than just get a few people to fall into stupid sins, amen, and tear them up that way. He wanted to influence those who would go out and teach others. It was where the first known library in that ancient time was in the city where Satan's seat was. It's where people went to read the writings of others and become learned, amen, so they could go and teach others. It was the intellectual capital city of Asia. It's the first time that books were collected where you could go like a library. Amen. It's the first time papyrus was used to write on and roll up and seal. Isn't it incredible? In the educational center of Asia is where Satan's headquarters was. Amen. Why? Because that's where he could have the most influence over the most people. That's where he could get this worldview into the lives of so many people. Can you say amen? So one of his minions, one of his underlings is handling some of this other stuff. But he says when it comes to influencing this many minds, for the God of this world is what blinded the minds of men. You want to know some statistics? Most Christian young people raised in Sunday school and church, you know where many of them lose their faith. You know where they lose it? They lose it in college. Because it's not cool in college to believe that God created this earth. It's not cool in college to follow a Jewish carpenter and his teachings. Can you say amen? They teach him about all these other wise, learned men. That's where Satan is doing his big damage. Don't look for him out at the house of ill repute or the gambling house. Look for him personally to have a hands-on effect in the intellectual community. That's where he was in the ancient world, and that's where he is ruling from in the 21st century. Right now. And that's why the faith that was once delivered to the saints is so crucial right here and right now. Earnestly contend, put up a real fight for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. God doesn't adjust, amen, his word to fit the intellectual scientific community. Can you say, man, he's not interested in being politically correct or socially acceptable. He's not running for office. He's already king. Can you say, man, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I got to hurry and quit. God wants you to know where faith comes from. Hebrews 11 verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith didn't originate with that scripture. It's a description of what faith does when it's in you. And it's in you because of Jesus. To every man is given the measure of faith. So look unto Jesus, who is the author and the finisher of your faith. Can you say amen? Paul said, the life that I live, I live by the tapes of Kenneth Hagin. Is that what he said? Is that where his faith came from? By the tapes of Kenneth Hagin? I'm not saying anything about Kenneth Hagin. I'm just saying faith don't come by nobody's tapes. Unless those tapes point you to Jesus. And not just faith as a force. The life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Can you say amen? It's what I know about this person that's producing this faith in me. Wow. There's so many folks running around the churches. We got our little mantra that we confess every day. How's that working for you? How's that working for you? Where's that victory? Where's the joy? Where's the fulfillment? Are you still looking for something from this world and something from God that's material to give you fulfillment and satisfaction? You think if you had the big house, it'd make you happy? Honey, you ain't happy with what you got. And you got Jesus on top of that. And he can't make you happy with food and raiment. Got food and raiment. I ain't happy until I have that. It's amazing. Sometimes God lets you have that just to show you that it won't make you happy. Rolling Stone interviewed Brad Pitt. Amen. Everybody read it because Brad was at his height. I think he's about to get out of acting now. He don't want to do it anymore. But anyway, he said, quote, in Rolling Stone magazine. You read Rolling Stone, nobody read quotes from Rolling Stone. Amen. If they help people understand something. Listen, he said, people think that I've got it made. Well, of course they do. Anybody with a worldview would think he has it made. Because the world says, if you got the look, you got the success, you got the fortune, you got the fame, you got the fox. Can you say amen? Come on, you got to have a fox to match your looks. I mean, do you see some of these women hanging out with these guys with the gold enough to bow you over? You know? You see the woman walking beside them? Have you ever seen a regular, everyday woman? No. Because she don't match the image of the man. He got to have a particular, peculiar type of woman. I mean, she got to go with my suit and my Rolex and my image. And he marries somebody that's going to enhance his image. I don't know who the old geezer was. And I got to be very careful when I talk about these things nowadays. I don't want to incriminate myself. I've been preaching a long time. But it's some old geezer, you know, one foot on a banana peel, the other in the grave. And this young, vivacious blonde lady, amen, married him. Amen. No offense, Dale. Amen. Why do blondes have thick shoulder pads? So they don't hurt themselves. Can you say amen? I love Dale. She loves me even when I do these things. Anyway, I'm going to tell you something. It's not about the hair. Amen. It's not about the hair and all of that stuff. And blondes are not any different. They have the same DNA. Amen. Just different hair. But we always love to make fun of somebody. It makes the rest of us feel better. Can you say amen? She marries this old geezer. But she loved him. They interviewed her, and everybody knows. Why would, you know, he's an old raisin. Can you say? And she marries this old raisin. And why would she want this guy that's one foot on a banana peel, one in the grave? He got the moolah. And they know she's a gold digger. Amen. And she knows she's a gold digger. And people are getting into the gospel that are gold diggers. For what is the immediate return I can get? What is in it for me right here and now for serving Jesus? Now, don't get me wrong. And that's the way he's presented. That's what he lives for. That's his highest. They said that's the highest will. The reason Jesus came to this earth was to defeat poverty and give us a better self-image. No, the reason he came to this earth is to save us from hell and damnation. Suffer on the cross so we wouldn't have to suffer judgment from God. That's the reason he came. Can you say, man? Oh, that we could get a glimpse of the glory of just knowing this great King. And having him as the king of our life. Whatever your worst state is with Jesus, you're still in a blessed state. Because why? He said, I'll never leave you. That means wherever you are, it ain't over. It ain't over unless you give up on him, because he hasn't given up on you. And I don't know why you're in the valley. Amen. It's not for me to know why you're in the valley. I don't know why I go through valleys. But I know in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. There's a valley in one of those countries near Israel. It is where it's a great chasm between two big cliff-like places, many feet high. And the sun only comes into that when it's directly overhead. When the sun comes over, it's dark in that valley. When the sun passes over that point, it's very narrow. Then it's dark again in that valley. So most of the day in that valley, there's just shadows from the indirect light of the sun. Predators knowing that you have to go through that valley to get to the good water and good grazing land, that sheep, other animals would come wandering through that valley. And when they did, the predators are in there. They don't see them. And they're waiting to pounce on them and destroy them. But when the shepherd took his sheep through, he went before them. And he knows the predators are all around in here. But they see something with these sheep. They see a shepherd. He's got something that comforts the sheep that David talked about. Thy rod and thy staff. The staff is that crooked thing that if a sheep got over in the water, he could reach in and pull him out. If he fell down to a ledge, he could reach down and grab him and pull him up. Amen? But the rod is about that long. It's about that big around. It's made out of the hardest of woods. It wasn't a staff. It was a rod. He was good at throwing it. That's why David was so good with the sling. Can you say, man, as a shepherd, that rod, he could bonk something. I mean, I don't care if it was a wolf. He could throw it. He practiced with it. Amen. When he threw that rod and hit that thing on the head, that thing didn't want no more. Amen. To do with that shepherd. I'm telling you, he put a knot on the head of the wolf. Amen. Whatever was in there waiting on those sheep said, whoa, wait a minute. Whoa, look at them sheep. Good. Good. That's what Joseph's sheep are. Good. Amen. They wanted it. But when they saw the shepherd, they knew. And the sheep said, he got a rod. He packing. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Shepherd be packing. We don't have to worry today. Amen. He got a 9 right here. Hallelujah. Praise God. And the shepherd walked before them with confidence. And he's looking to the right and to the left. Amen. Listen, that's why David said, when I walk through that valley of the shadow of death, I will not fear any evil, because you're with me. Can you say, man, you're with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Yeah. Can you say, man, the staff is to keep me from falling. Yeah. The rod is to keep the enemy from hurting me. And you got both of them. Hallelujah. Yeah. Can you say, man, that's my king today, Brother Sean. Hallelujah. Yeah. I'm comforted that he is my protector and my defender. Woo! Hallelujah. Yea, though I walk every day of my life, not just when I have a big heart event or something. Every day I'm walking through the valley of the shadow of death, but I don't fear evil in this fallen world because he's with me every step of the way. Oh, how thankful I am to know this King. How about you? There's a man, and we're going to close with this, but there's a man, and you want to know more about this king, get your faith in a person instead of in a force. Get a victory that comes while you're falling in love with him at the same time. See, this victory comes with intimacy. Don't let the mighty man rejoice in his might, but let him rejoice in this, that he knows me, saith God. That he knows me, saith God. Faith comes by hearing. Why? And hearing by the word of God. Why? Because it's in the word of God that we get a clear picture and a clear understanding of him who saved us and redeemed us. Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Can you say, man, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And when you see the Father through Christ's revelation of Him, this was a song in the 50s. I used to think of Pamela. But it was about me. She would be singing it to me if she could. I know she would. To know Him. Nobody knew me like her. The guys I ran around with, I had a persona projected. I had the motorcycle, the black leather jacket, a switchblade in this pocket, a homemade blackjack in this pocket. I braided leather, heated lead to where I could beat it out, and then take gloves and fold it around the leather, and it had a lead ball of that big, about round strands of leather. And if we got into an altercation, I could bump you on your noggin. I could whip out this knife. That was my persona. I didn't want to use none of it. I never did use any of it. But people just knowing I had these things. And I walked down the hall in my leather jacket. And I had taps on my shoes. Not because I could tap dance, but when I walked down the hall, no one's going to see me in my leather jacket if they don't hear me coming. So down the hall, you go click, click, click. And girls and guys would look out the door while I was on my way to the office to get reprimanded. And say, ain't he cool? That's a persona. She knew he's not like that. That was to keep people from bothering me because they thought he's a bad man. And if I project that image, nobody will find out that that's not the man that I am. You know? Hallelujah. Amen. Dina Girls called her in, found out she's going steady with me. She said, I got to tell you right now, that young man is headed for either juvenile home or prison or self-destruction. You need to stay away from him. Dina Girls didn't know me like she knew me. Amen. It's to know. It's when you get to know. It's when you get to know. You know what Job said that brought that faith before that other revelation came? He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. Everything I know about you is what somebody told me. But now, it's all changed. Now, mine eye seeth thee. And all of those, you know, questions just melted. He said, wherefore I abhor myself for even questioning you. And I repent in sackcloth and ashes. Can you say, man, woman at the well, got to hurry and close. What if I didn't hurry and close? Just think how long that would be. I've been hurrying and closing for the last 30 minutes. Woman at the well, amen. She went out and preached Jesus, not in the pastorly sense or apostle sense, but she just gave a testimony. Amen. She told them about Jesus. She was so convincing. They came from everywhere to hear him. Amen. Come and see a man. Come and see what? Come and see biblical principles that can change. No! Come and see a man. Hallelujah. He's the author and finisher of faith. Can you say amen? Come and see what? Come and see a church organization. Come and see an anointed evangelist. No, come and see this man, Jesus. Say Jesus. Jesus. And they came because of the sayings of this woman. She was so convincing. Hallelujah. And when they came back, they told this woman these words. We believe. Because of thy saying, enough to come hear him for ourselves. We believe because of thy saying. But now, listen, look at me. A lot of you in here have never met Jesus personally and intimately. You've hung around church. You've felt the power of God. But this is not about the power of God. This is about the person. Because you don't know the person, you don't have peace. Because he said, I've spoken these things unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world, you'll never find it. Quit looking for it. It ain't coming. In the world, you're going to have tribulation. You've got to be able to live with peace in your heart in the midst of the pressure. His peace is not the absence of pressure. It's the presence of God no matter what you're going through. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Listen to me carefully. He wants you to know him today. He wants you to get a little bit deeper. But I've been in church for years. That's the whole problem. Amen. You quit seeking to know him. Church is no substitute for him. But it's a good place to hear about him. Can you say amen? And to get deeper into him and to be challenged and to be changed. Hallelujah. Listen. Hallelujah. We believe because of thy saying, but now we've heard him for ourselves. We know. This brings that know so faith. And we know this is the Christ, the Son of the living God. We know it personally. We know it for ourselves. Hallelujah. And I told my son the other day, I said, son, I'm so glad you were raised in church. I'm so glad you were raised in Sunday school. You went so far from God, but you can't unknow what you know. You cannot know and be ignorant, but once you know, I mean really know, you can't unknow. You can sit in a bar and drink yourself into a stupor, but you know. Heaven is real, hell is real in Jesus. Come on, you can't unknow it. You were raised in a Christian home, and no matter where you went in this world, you could be with people that didn't know. But you knew, didn't you? Praise God. And it wasn't the same for you because they don't know, but you knew. Praise God. You can't unknow. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You can't unknow this truth, Sean. You could turn your back on it tomorrow, but you can't unknow what you know. Hallelujah. Because this thing has been given by the Spirit of God. And it's in us today. And it's settled. Everybody say, that's my King. I used to quote that, and we're going to close with that. But S.M. Lockridge, he's a black minister in California. He talked about his King. And I usually quote him, but I want you to hear him today. I call this a Jesus rant. It's one of the few times you can rant and rave and be sanctified. Can you say, man, if you rant and rave about Jesus, and this guy goes on an anointed rant about Jesus. S.M. Lockridge, amen. Many pastors all over from different denominations are quoting S.M. Lockridge because the Spirit of God came on him and he said, I wish you knew my King. Can you say, man? Are you ready to know this King? You want to get more deeper into Jesus today? Hallelujah. Let's close with this today. Something sweet to quit off on. Praise God. Are you challenged today?
Yes, sir.
All right. Praise God. Hallelujah.
The Bible says, my King is a King of the Jews. He's a King of Israel. He's a King of righteousness. He's a King of the ages. He's a King of heaven. He's a King of glory. He's the King of kings. And he's the Lord of lords. That's my King. I wonder, do you know him? My King is a sovereign King. No means of measure can define his limitless love. He's enduringly strong. He's entirely sincere. He's eternally steadfast. He's immortally graceful. He's imperially powerful. He's impartially merciful. Do you know him? He's the greatest phenomenon that has ever crossed the horizon of this world.
Yes.
He's God's Son. He's a sinner's Savior. He's the centerpiece of civilization. He's unparalleled. He's unprecedented.
Yes.
He is the loftiest idea in literature. He's the highest personality in philosophy. He's the fundamental doctrine of true theology. He's the only one qualified to be an all-sufficient Savior.
Yes.
I wonder if you know him today. He supplies strength for the weak. He's available for the tempted and the tried. He sympathizes and he saves. He strengthens and sustains. He guards and he guides. He heals the sick. He cleanses the lepers. He forgives sinners. He discharges debtors. He delivers the captive. He defends the feeble. He blesses the young. He serves the unfortunate. He regards the aged. He rewards the diligent. And he purifies the meek. I wonder if you know him. He's a key to knowledge. He's a wellspring of wisdom. He's a doorway of deliverance. He's a pathway of peace. He's a roadway of righteousness. He's a highway of holiness. He's a gateway of glory. Do you know him? Life is matchless. His goodness is limitless. His mercy is everlasting. His love never changes. His word is enough. His grace is sufficient. His reign is righteous. And his yoke is easy. And his burden is lighter. describing to you. He's indescribable. He's incomprehensible. He's invincible. He's irresistible. Well, you can't get him out of your mind. You can't get him off of your head. You can't outlive him, and you can't live without him. Well, the Pharisees couldn't stand him, but they found out they couldn't stop him. Pilate couldn't find any fault in him. Herod couldn't kill him. Death couldn't handle him.
Hallelujah!
The grave couldn't hold him.
That's my King. Somebody give him praise. Hallelujah. When you stand to your feet today, let's rejoice in him. This is a rejoicing home as we leave this place. Hallelujah. I commit myself to challenge you this coming year to know your King. To know your King. If you want to hear about politics, I'm going to talk a little bit about it come voting time. Amen. That you might vote your conscience. But I will not put politics above this King. Amen. No man is a Savior but Jesus. No man can deliver us but him. No one can help us but our God. If the blessing of the Lord is returned to America, God will put a man into office. Hallelujah, praise God. God will put it in the heart of people to elect a godly man. Can you say amen, or a godly woman? Praise the Lord. But until that happens, no political party can change anything. Amen. Until we get out from under the curse and back under the blessing. We're in for a hard ride in America. But be it known unto you that God does make a difference between the righteous and the wicked. Hallelujah. God will bless your meal barrel and God will bless mine. God will make a way where there seems to be no way, because he's our King. And I'm young and now I'm old, but I've never, 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 never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging for bread. He will come through if you'll let him take you through this valley. Somebody give him praise in this place. Hallelujah. Let's exalt his name before we leave. And have a wonderful Thanksgiving if I don't see you before it's over. Jesus, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's have a praise him in Brooklyn.
Those who know your name.
Ready, but God is here. Jesus. He's my King.
We put our trust.
thank you for coming. Yes, Lord. Everyone who is bowed down today. Hallelujah. I just want to worship him a moment. There's still a few people wanting to worship, and I want to worship him. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad he came? Aren't you glad he walked with us? Aren't you glad he's walking with us now? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad? Amen. Let's sing a Thanksgiving song. You can't sing this, but let's just praise him before we leave here today. I spend most of my time trying to pump people up, but I don't want to even see right now who may need pumping up, because I can't pump you up. But I want to worship my King today. Hallelujah. With Christians all over the world that get it, that understand it, that appreciate it, that appropriate it. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Someday I hope to preach in South Africa. Hallelujah. Why? Because I love to minister to people who respond to the grace, the goodness, and the glory. He walked with us. That's what they're singing. He walked with us. Wahamanati. He walked with us. He came in a manger and he walked with us. The King of Glory came down. We thank you, Lord. Jesus is Jesus.
Do you think I can help me in Sotho?
and amen and amen. Somebody give him praise in this place. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Go ahead. We're worshiping. You leave anytime you're ready. I'm not holding you today. Amen. But people have been in some deep, dark valleys. Amen. It's called the valley of the shadow of death. But today, you're not fearing the evil all around you anymore. A shepherd is leading you through that valley. Amen. And you know where he's taking you to? He's taking you to green pastures. He's going to lead you beside still water. You're not going to stay in that valley. You're only passing through it. Father, how we praise you. How we praise you. How we praise you. How we praise you today. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell.
Church is going to go free.
Sin is where it started.
Church is going to come out of her prison. Shake herself from the dust.
As a prisoner,
go captive. Daughter of Zion, your chains are going to fall off. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
I can hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice it called and beckoned me to follow where I had never gone. My heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in the cross I found a doorway, and a hand that held the keys. When the chain fell at my feet, for the first time I could see. This is how it feels to be free. When I'm reminded of the prison I was in, like a living nightmare,
I remember,
burning deep within.
Jesus.
I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again.
Hallelujah, no, I won't.
You see, once I tasted freedom, and the chains could bind no more, mercy gave me wings of eyes, and like an eagle I can soar.
Hallelujah. Amen. God going to cut this little church loose, bring us out of our prison houses, break the chains. Let us feel how it feels to be truly free today. Amen. Shake somebody's hand before you leave. You didn't have to stay. Don't say I held you. Hallelujah. God bless you today. Amen. If you're walking this thing, the Lord will keep you in freedom and liberty and blessing. Hallelujah.